Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for being along with us today. Big, big show lined up. We got it all.
It's a really big shoe.
Big show. Big show to fill. As they say, Bear is here. Mr. Fabulous Rick Butler is here. Guy Patterson III is here.
Are we going with Fabulous now?
Huh?
We going to let Phil just stick that one on him, Fabulous?
Yes. And we have a huge show today. David Ubben of The Athletic is with us in just a few minutes. And they coming up in the 5 p.m. hour, right in the heart of drive time, ladies and gentlemen. My man is fired up over here. Rick Butler just banging on the table.
He's noise. I cannot wait for this.
Oh, you're hurting my ears, son.
5 o'clock hour.
Tony Vitello on the drive this afternoon to talk all things Tennessee baseball. And Bear, I know you're excited. I know you're excited, Bear, as the university announcing today, we have all sorts of special promotions for this huge weekend of Tennessee baseball coming up, including the first ever Checker Lindsey Nelson Stadium Initiative on Saturday. The plan is up. It's online. Before you go to the game, make sure you know which section you're sitting in so you'll know whether to wear orange or white.
Oh, God.
To the game coming up this weekend.
And this is announced by UT itself, right?
Yeah.
This is not just like a fan thing where you
with
go to the
full
website.
Blessing of Tony Vitello, Bear, are you going to be man enough? Are you going to rain on Coach Vitello's parade? Are you going to tell him? Are you going to whine to him about?
I don't whine him. I don't whine about anything.
You're a whiner.
No.
I'm not.
I want to know if we're going to have a slaughtering. A big vat of scalding water, a big long butcher knife. We're going to slit some hog throats this weekend. Give a damn about Checkered Lindsey. What domination?
Fourth ranked Tennessee, first ranked Arkansas, college baseball Armageddon right here in Knoxville. And I admit, I'm torn. My heartstrings are being pulled in so many different directions right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Why?
My cousin, who I've not seen in a long, long time, whose beautiful 4 or 5 year old daughter right now I've never met, is getting married in Sunset Beach, North Carolina.
Ooh.
Yep. And I've RSVP'd. It's a beach wedding. I'm excited. Like, get out of town. I'm looking forward to traveling, and I've never been to Sunset Beach and see some family, get in the sun a little bit.
Oh, it's a fantastic beach.
Do the whole thing, man. I'm looking forward to it, but I am also very disappointed that I will not be in town for this epic baseball weekend to go to a couple of the games and to host a voluntary reaction or two. I mean, there's so many things that we could be doing this weekend with Tennessee baseball, and I unfortunately will not be able to be a part of it. Or will I? Let's go to the Fan Run Breaking News Desk, ladies and gentlemen. Oh. What a time. What a time to be alive as gas stations across the Southeast running out of gas as people panic by the fuel right now. Have you seen this?
They're morons.
Gas lines.
They're complete idiots.
Going on in this country. Some sort of cyber hack of the Colonial Pipeline, and they were down for a little while, which caused a thing of supply, and now people are panic buying, and it's a vicious cycle. And
it's evidently self-inflicted.
The worst of it is, Bear, the worst of it is in North Carolina, where I'm supposed to be traveling. I'm supposed to be driving through there on Friday.
All those North Carolinians went crazy.
That doesn't present a good situation.
I mean, people are filling up trash bags and putting them in their trunk with gasoline.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good.
It is insane.
I've got a feeling that your insurance isn't going to want to cover that kind of damage.
No. But I've got a personal dilemma here. I need you guys to help me through it, and some sage advice would be nice.
Okay.
What do I do? Because I've promised, I've RSVP'd to this wedding. I've given my word. And when I figured out weeks ago that, oh, man, this is going to be the Arkansas series, I was disappointed, but I processed it, and it's just something I got to do, man. I've given my word. I'm going to be there.
Right.
But now, it's not an excuse. I'm not looking to get out of going to the wedding. I sincerely want to go. But I also sincerely do not want to get run out of gas in rural North Carolina and be stranded and not be able to do either the wedding or the baseball series. So
if you're out in the middle of Nowheresville, North Carolina, there's a good chance you wouldn't be able to see the game. You might be able to get
well,
it in
what
on
I'm
the
saying.
App on
I
your
be
phone.
Able, well, yeah. I mean, well, and I mean, yes, best case scenario, I could sit at a gas station and charge an outlet if they let me and use up all my data watching the game on my phone. I don't want to do that, okay?
That does not sound like a good idea. All right, here's what I think. I think you have a built-in excuse if you want to use it. I don't think it's one that anybody can really go against. You're trying to protect your family. You're protecting your car. You're protecting the travel.
It's just me. I'd be traveling by myself.
So the whole family's not in?
No.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, see, I'm not sure if you guys are aware of this, but we're all speaking into microphones right now. That's being broadcast out over the airwaves. So I kind of feel like you've made your bed, man. You're going to the wedding. What if your cousin listens to the show? If you're all as tight as he says,
she would probably say.
Everybody else listens to
us. She would probably say, "I understand. I wouldn't go either."
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I mean, it's not. I'm not trying to invent an excuse. If I wanted to do that, trust me, I could do that. I make up lame excuses to get out of doing stuff I don't want to do all the time. That is not enough. That's not a problem.
Let me ask you this: Could you go down and visit the family down there this summer to later?
Yeah, that's what I told my wife. I was like, "Look, we're going to the beach in Charleston anyway. I could probably pop up, but they don't live there. They live in the middle of North Carolina somewhere. And it's just the wedding is at the beach, right? And so, do we really want to go out of our way to see people and it's not at the beach? I don't know. Then I get into, okay, now I'm making judgments against the family, which is not a good place to be in.
Here's my question. And this is often how I kind of go about some of my decisions like this. How guilty do you think that you will feel as the weekend goes on? Because if you don't think you're going to feel that guilty, then, hey, I say stay. I say protect yourself and your car and everything. But if you feel like you're going to be there Saturday, not even able to enjoy the game because you're like, man, they're all on the beach right now.
No,
the wedding's happening.
No, but here's the dilemma, Rick, is I don't know. I don't know because if I decide to stop, if I decide I'm not going to go because I legitimately am concerned about the gas situation, then and then I find out Friday that the gas thing has been way overblown. It's just a couple of people panic buying on Wednesday, and then it's fixed by Friday, Saturday. Well, then
you don't have an excuse.
Well, maybe kind of.
I
don't know that now. You don't know that now. Nobody knows that now. Nobody knows what's going
to
happen.
Dude,
Friday.
It's obvious that you don't want to go to this wedding. You don't want to miss the Arkansas series here in town.
No,
but
it's dripping out of your voice.
No,
it is, Rick.
You're wrong. It's that I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to have a travel debacle. Travel debacles are the worst, man.
Travel kind of soft.
You have a popped tire or something on the side of the interstate. You have stuck at the airport in line for 5 hours, stuck on the tarmac. Nothing is worse than a travel disaster. And I've had
I've had a major one.
I've had pretty good luck in avoiding travel disasters, and it's because I obsess about it whenever the whenever the potential for disaster happens, right? I obsess about it. I seek counsel of my friends, and I take the best advice I possibly can, and I usually make the right decisions. Worked out well so far.
Here's my final kind of thing on it. All week long, and even going back into last week, we've known this series is coming up, and not one time have you kind of swayed on the fence a little bit. You have been very clear, very confident that you're going to this wedding, that the baseball series was in the rearview mirror. So it's not even like you're approaching. Oh, yeah. It's just looking for an excuse.
It's not a wedding I don't
want to only coming
attend.
Up today.
It's not a distant cousin that I never saw growing up, and it's like, oh, man, how do I get out of this thing?
Yeah,
like,
I don't think you've been waiting for an excuse. Yeah, I think you're legitimately focused on the
travel. I'm legitimately torn. It is a legitimate dilemma. I would not bring it to the airwaves otherwise. Guy Patterson III, you have any sage advice? This flip a coin? No, he does not have sage advice.
You may want to try.
Just go ahead and stop.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
your mic's not even on.
You're not even on.
All right.
This thing.
Yeah. Okay. This thing. The button that says on.
We're off to a really super fresh start.
All right. So my logic behind this is you flip a coin. Anytime you're stuck between two hard decisions, if it lands on what you really want, you're going to feel relief. If it lands on what you don't want, you're going to feel regret. And that moment when you flip the coin, you know.
You decide what it is you should
actually do. That could quite possibly be the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
No, that's really
That's ridiculous.
Are you crapping on GP3?
I just feel like it.
It's good.
Because you do. You have that moment of like, oh, I didn't really want it to be this.
And then you know what your heart is telling you.
Yeah. Okay. We should do that right now.
That's good. All right. I'll keep it in mind. Here's what I'm going to wait for more information. I don't have to make a decision really until Friday, so I'm just going to wait and see what kind of information presents itself to me as the week rolls along. All right, speaking of gas shortage, we have another emergency facing us. Let's go back to the Fan Run breaking news desk. Supply chain shortages everywhere. Chick-fil-A is feeling the pinch right now. Chick-fil-A is running out of sauce. They're running out of sauce, and they are actually limiting the number of sauces that they're giving out to customers because
of
the limited stock.
Sitting right out there.
Yeah. If you want some Polynesian sauce, come down to Fan Run Radio. We'll hook you up.
That makes no sense because they've been selling that stuff at like Walmart and grocery stores now.
Yep. Yeah, we've got some. Too sugary.
I thought you were going to say they were out of chicken. There's no chicken still.
Nope.
I've heard that as well.
Apparently, the chicken is just fine. It's the sauce that they're having trouble keeping.
Not just fine.
At Hardee's, I know I heard a story from a buddy this morning that at Hardee's, they're trying to get a chicken biscuit. They said they got no chicken.
No.
Yikes.
And when you do get it, don't be surprised if it's suddenly a couple of dollars more than normal.
Well, I don't know who's to blame. I'm sure it's whatever politician you didn't vote for. I'm sure it's all that guy's fault. But it needs to get fixed, damn it. It needs to get fixed. No gasoline. This is like something Bears generation had to deal with when you're in those 1979 sleds in some gas line outside a Gulf station or something like that. This isn't something modern civilized people in 2021 should have to be dealing with in the United States of America. Fix this.
I barely even remember that. The oil embargo.
It's an absolute outrage. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a big show this afternoon. As I said, we're going to catch up with our friend David Ubben over at The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on moving the kickoff to Thursday, plus this name, image, and likeness thing. Everybody has an opinion on name, image, likeness. Oh, this is going to change college sports. Oh, this is going to ruin college sports. You know what I've learned in just reading all this different stuff and listening to everybody's opinion? Nobody has any idea what's actually going to happen. Yeah, it might ruin college sports. It also might have no effect. Perhaps it's one of those situations where the answer is somewhat in the middle. I think the effect is going to be pronounced, but I don't think these coaches know what exactly it's going to look like. I don't think the administrators know. And I certainly don't think Guy on the radio knows. Not actually, literally, you, Guy. I'm talking about all of us.
I'll tell you, Russ,
I know Bear has a strong opinion.
No, I really don't, but I'm glad we've got David coming on because he – I'm trying to look it up. He thought of something that nobody had really thought about the whole name, image, and likeness deal. And I'm interested to see what he's
Well, what was it?
I should have looked it up for a second.
Yeah, you probably should have. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to get on the show this afternoon. We'll go open up the G3 Help Me hotlines. Stay with us. Your phone calls coming up. It is The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell and Bear back with you. Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Pleased to be joined by David Ubben of The Athletic, who I can only assume joins us live from a long line of people waiting at a gas station. He's got plastic bags and jugs and whatnot to fill up for the impending apocalypse. Ubben, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I just want you to know that The idea that you should not bag gas, that's the deep state talking. I just, the bag full of plastic bags that everybody has in their house, I took all those out, I filled them all up, just tied them up, and now they're just sitting in my living room. So if anybody needs some gas, I can get you a bag for, $50, $100.
Wow. This really hard time for the sports media. Look at what David Ubben has been reduced to, selling gasoline on the black market out of his apartment or home, man. That's so sad.
Out of plastic garbage bags.
You gotta hustle, and that's all there is to it.
I admire the side hustle. I mean, they've got to be talking about Ziploc, right? Some idiot, but surely there's nobody putting gas into an actual plastic bag and trying to tie it off.
Yes, there's video of it.
Have you really?
Seen there was it, a viral clip, for sure.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I hope they at least double bagged it.
Well, they did, but here's the thing. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, David. Gasoline will dissolve those grocery bags.
Well, that's a problem for future David. Right now it's fine.
Right now
we're just rolling.
You go ahead and move those sacks of gas. That's somebody else's problem. You got the money, man. No returns.
Exactly.
David, hope you're doing well, my friend. Thanks for jumping on with us. I see the off-season survey, fan survey, is up over at The Athletic. I know you haven't gotten these and compiled this data yet, but any hypotheses on what you might hear or learn from Tennessee fans this off-season? What are you expecting?
Looking at the early returns, it's definitely interesting. I'm on vacation next week, so fans will be able to read the results on Monday. We're still collecting results, so if you want to fill that out, come to The Athletic, and you can do that. But we've learned a lot. I was intrigued at a handful of questions, and they have provided the interesting results that I expected. I'll say that. But ultimately, I think something that will make Josh Heupel say is it seems like he's winning people over, and that is good news for him in terms of his relationship with the fan base. At some point, not to go all hot take, but at some point he's probably going to lose a game as Tennessee's coach, and we'll see how that shakes out when that happens. But it seems like people really do like the approach that he's taken. We'll get into that next week for sure at The Athletic.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on moving the season opener to Thursday night? Obviously, this is, Danny White looking for a chance to make a little impact and get some publicity. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more eyes on that game than there would have been if it were on Saturday, buried underneath a full slate of college football.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's about priorities, right? You're never going to make everyone happy, right? You're not. People in the mid-state, they're not going to be able to get to that game very easily without taking the day off work. Local business owners are costing them money. You're doing all that. But none of that matters as much as recruiting. You know what hurts business owners and attendance? Bad football. That's what hurts. And so you're never going to be able to appease everyone. But for now, you got to try and fix things. And it is. This is a whole – people want to embrace this new identity of Tennessee football. And if you're playing on ESPN Plus at noon on a Saturday, I mean, Nobody wants to watch Tennessee and Bowling Green. That's the reality. But if it's on a Thursday night and there's like one other game or no other games on and no other SEC teams playing, guess what? People are going to watch it. Recruits are going to watch it. That's the idea. And if that buys you a little bit of fan service and say, hey, Bowling Green is not very good. Their defense is not very good. Tennessee's going to put up some points in that game. It's a great showcase for them. And so, yeah, it's not going to please everybody. There's going to be people that are grumbling and mad and all that. But you got to pick who you're going to please. And right now, you know, it's about recruits and getting them a chance to see this new version of Tennessee football. And it's going to look pretty good against Bowling Green.
It better. That would be a horrible way to after Georgia State a couple of years ago. I know that's Pruitt and it's a new coach and everything, but we've truly seen it all here lately, David.
Yeah, for what it's worth, for the Tennessee fans, I did watch Bowling Green in some action last year, and things can change from year to year, but that team was terrible last year. One of the worst FBS teams. When you start getting down to that bottom 10 or 15, it's sort of, you know, 6-1, half dozen the other, but they had a pretty decent case of the worst FBS team last year.
You know, the Thursday night thing is interesting to me for a number of reasons. South Carolina and Steve Spurrier really used that, I think, to kind of market their program when they were buried. You had Urban Meyer and Nick Saban and all those people in the league. And you remember this, David. South Carolina would open up on a Thursday night every year.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember the Kenny Trill game with South Carolina and Texas A&M.
Wow. You're the only one who remembers that. I don't think Kenny Trill remembers it, but he looked good. He looked good that day, as I recall. Do you think that's something with Tennessee football just being in the shape it's in and everybody's fighting for publicity and their share of the spotlight, do you think that's something that Danny White and Josh Heupel might look at doing every year, but just mixing it up, playing on different nights and trying to get their share of the limelight?
Well, we'll see. It's not going to be every season probably, and it's not going to be every game we're having to decide that. But anyone who still is holding on to this idea that, like, oh, if you're not playing on Saturday, it's not real football. Like, quite frankly, that's just, like, stupid. Just really stupid. Like, you want exposure. You want to get your product in front of as many people as possible. And it's going to be in front of a lot more people playing that game on Thursday than it would be otherwise. Depending on the state of the program, the arithmetic on that decision might look different depending on the opponent, depending on the situation. You know, does anybody want to see Tennessee and Florida play on a Thursday night? No, probably not. I don't think you're ever going to see that. The Tennessee and Bowling Green on Thursday night, if it means graduating to the SEC network instead of SEC Plus, I mean, that's marketing your program. That helps you in a lot of ways. It helps more than it hurts, especially when you're trying to give people a look at a new face of a program. And, you know, I understand the people that are complaining, but, you know, come on, folks. See the forest and the trees here.
Case in point, Ohio State, last I checked, the last time I saw them, I believe they were playing in the national championship game, David. I have to go back and check my notes on that. But they are opening on the same Thursday night as well.
Well, so, Ohio State's not really a real program. I mean, what have they done lately?
No.
Not very much, right?
Yeah, they're struggling.
If you could play every Saturday in the CBS game, you know, soon to be RIT, yeah, sure, that'd be awesome, right? Like, you could.
Yeah.
But Tennessee has gone full seasons without getting that CBS slot. And you're not in a spot where you're going to be, you know, exactly CBS is not going to be beating down your door to get you on there all the time. And you got to get your spot where you want it. And those exclusive windows are just – they're a bigger deal, especially early in the season when people are starved for football. A lot of people – I'm serious. They're playing Bowling Green. There's probably a good chunk of people that would be the only Tennessee football game that they see all next year. Tennessee is not exactly a hot ticket at the moment outside of the state of Tennessee. And anytime you can get that shine, you want to lean into it, especially in a game you're going to look pretty good.
No, I think it's a great move for all the reasons you just mentioned and publicity. But I also think there's a football advantage to it, David, in that second game against Pitt – is an early swing game for Josh Heupel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the line in that is going to be, but it's probably not going to be very big either way. And if Tennessee can win that game, they're going to be 3-0 headed into the swamp, and it'll be a big underdog there for sure. But That'd be a great start. And by moving this opener to Thursday, you know where I'm going with this, David. You get two extra days to prepare for the big game against Pitt, two extra days to heal any bumps or bruises that might accumulate in the season opener, two extra days to fix whatever problems might pop up, areas that you have to work on that you don't know until you see him play against Bowling Green.
I agree completely. I just, you know, again, recruiting is the most important thing. You got to upgrade the roster. That's what this is about. Like, there's some other side effects, but ultimately, get your product in front of people because people are not going to be beaten down the door to see Tennessee football this year. And when you get an opportunity, you got to take advantage of it. This is a huge opportunity for them to do that and raise some eyebrows, because this Tennessee team is going to look a lot different than the team last year, and maybe folks tune in a little bit later on. I get the complaints. They're predictable. They're understandable. But it's just the small way of looking at the program.
David Ubben of The Athletic with us this afternoon on The Drive, talking college football. And David, obviously one of the big topics of off-season conversation this year is going to be name, image, and likeness. Seems like we've been talking about it for a very long time now. And already everybody's got a big opinion on this about how it's going to dramatically shake up the nature of college football. It seems to me, and you agree or disagree, David, it's just one of those things. I don't know if we fully grasp what it's going to look like, what impact it's going to have, whether it changes the game much or not, until it actually happens and we get into it. And it seems like one of those situations where it might be a kind of make up the rules as we go along type thing.
I agree. I mean, this is going to be unpredictable. This is going to have side effects that we don't foresee. But you know what? Eat it. Like, this is the right thing to do. Like, it's the right thing to do. It's ridiculous that this is 2021 and it's still not happening in college football. Obviously, it's a matter of time. But this is the right thing to do. I mean, there is zero case for athletes to not be able to earn money off of their name, image, and likeness. It's the right thing to do. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a headache. There's going to be issues that come up. There's going to be some bad situations. It's the right thing to do. So you do it and you deal with whatever comes with it.
Well, and I think it's interesting because a lot of people say, well, it's about time they pay the players. And to me, they're not really paying the players, David. We're talking about...
No, they're not. They're just stopping from the players being able to monetize their own... I mean, I need somebody to... There is not a case for why Ted Russell Nissan or whatever wants to give Trey Smith $15,000 to post, you know, him in a truck on Instagram, you know, that he gets a free truck and they say, hey, I love Ted Russell Nissan or whatever, this truck's awesome. Why should that not be allowed? Like, there is no reason that it shouldn't be. Yeah. And everyone should be able to do whatever you want and let the market speak for itself. The people who are going to win in this deal, there's going to be people that are getting overpaid in the first 2 years because people are going to go crazy. And they're going to realize some of these businesses or these boosters or whoever wants to put money into it, they're going to be like, you know, I'm not getting a ton of returns for my money. And the market will correct itself. And it will even out over time. And then this is going to be part of college sports. But again, no one's saying that this isn't going to have problems. No one's saying this isn't going to get messy. But it's the right thing to do, so you do it. And there is not a case against it. There just is not.
Well, the thing I'm really interested to see, this will be the whole thing, right? Is what the market is willing to dictate there. Is it just going to be a couple of players having a $1,000 a month stipend, or is freaking Pilot going to come in here and say, you know what, if you sign with Tennessee, we'll give you all $1 million, all of you, like anybody. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, in theory, I need someone to explain to me why that's bad again. And also, I think ultimately, like, that's a bad investment. So if you're a good businessman, you're going to go bankrupt, in a hurry doing that. But again, this is how a lot of sports operate. Like, it is what it is. And it's going to be complicated. It's going to be, like I said, messy. I don't really know what it's going to look like. It's definitely going to be more people making a little bit of money, than you think. For every... People always want to talk about the Trevor Lawrences and the Zions, but the smaller stuff and you know, I think people really overlook the social media aspect of it, being able to make money on Instagram with, you know, sponsored posts. And I think people overlook the value of a player hosting a week-long summer camp with his name on it. In fact, he goes back home to whatever small town he's from, where he is, you know, a deity there, puts his name on a camp, and gets to make some money off of his own work and his own situation. I think people really overlook the social media aspect of it, the camps of it, and they want to talk about, well, what about Nike and Adidas? And am I going to be, you know, in a commercial and see Trevor Lawrence, you know, playing, you know, up there, or Bryce Young going to be in a commercial, or all this stuff? Like, people want to talk about the big examples. There's not going to be that many of those. I mean, the number of guys that make seven digits in endorsements is going to be pretty small. But the number of guys that make five digits in a year, I think it's going to be a lot bigger than people think.
David, is Heupel done with the transfer portal? You think he's pretty filled up now, or do you think there's a chance they might dip back in?
Never say never. I mean, you know, they're not really pursuing anyone as far as I know, but if the you know, if Bryce Young enters the transfer portal tomorrow and says he wants to go to Tennessee, then Tennessee's probably going to say, we'll do that, and we're going to take away a scholarship from 2022. It just sort of depends. You know, if there's something that comes out of nowhere, then you sort of reassess. But as it stands right now, I don't expect him to add anybody else.
All right, well, we will keep an eye on that. Should be an interesting offseason. David, always appreciate your time. We'll let you get back to double-knotting bags of gasoline, and good luck with your side hustle there.
I appreciate it. They're quickly deteriorating, so I've got to move some stuff around. But thanks for the tip on that.
David Ubben of The Athletic. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
David makes his appearance, as all fan-run guests do, via the G3 Help Me Hotline. Check out the magic of G3 online at g3helpme.com. That's g3helpme.com. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll be right back to unpack David's appearance on the show and open up phone lines to you as well. Our number, you want to jump on board, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
So you're watching. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. David Ubben of The Athletic. Bear, what did you learn?
A lot. Number one, David's got some kind of black market gasoline bazaar going on in his living room. Why do you always do this to me? You know, I've got like
what
memory
did you make,
retention problems.
What did you
just
make of he's almost militant on the whole name, image, and likeness thing. He's like, I don't care if these business guys go broke doing it. The market is what the market is. Players should be able to make whatever they make.
Yeah, I agree with him. Like, I've got a big problem with what they're I don't know why he signed it, other than he's, you know, you have to be about a half of a functioning idiot. The governor down in Georgia signed that deal where basically they made it legal for the schools to take 75%.
Yeah, I don't.
So let's for example, I'm trying to think of a Bulldog, Pickens, that wide receiver they had.
Yeah.
So let's say he signed some big deal with like the Mercedes-Benz dealership. How is it legal for Georgia to take 75% of his earnings that technically Georgia doesn't really have anything to do with?
Seems like that
and,
would be
and
a...
redistribute it to other athletes. I know why they're what they're trying to avoid is which I think at some point it's going to come up as Title IX. But to me, it's, you know, it's free market capitalism. I mean,
and I think especially when, you know, like David had mentioned, maybe some of these kids are going to go back home to multiple different states away and perform some of these summer camps. So if you have a kid who is going to school at Georgia, but let's say he lives all the way in California and he's hosting a football camp there, that seems even more asinine in a way to draw 75% of that money in California with his own camp.
I'm not really sure how that's going to work, but I mean, there's a lot of stuff, and he pointed that out in some tweets earlier today that there's some parts of this that are
could have murky.
Murky at best. At the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of lawyers making a lot of money.
Another thing I'm curious about: Nick Saban owns a Mercedes dealership. Would he be able to sponsor his own
players? Oh, wow. Tell him the recruits, hey, we'll have you a, we'll have you a nice sponsorship.
Is this above and beyond what Tuscaloosa Dodge already does for the Tide players?
I'm just wondering what the Tennessee fan or Georgia fan or Florida fan, whoever right now, who's saying, yeah, just from a strictly ethical standpoint, players should be able to be – they're no different than anybody else. They should go out and be able to sell their name, image, and likeness and make whatever it is they can possibly make. I'm just wondering how those opinions – how firm they're going to be 5-10 years in when every Alabama business is – I mean, those kids are like NASCAR out there. They got 10 different sponsors and everybody –
they're making $1 million a piece a year.
And the market is even more cornered on five-star players.
Well, he tried to tell everybody about – I saw it popped up again. You remember Saban never wanted this – the whole transfer portal – intra-conference transferring with immediate eligibility, and he told everybody basically that Alabama would have the market cornered on it. I don't know why you all want this. It's just going to make us better.
Saban has become the Bond villain that just holds the world hostage. It's like, you can change that rule if you want. I'll just take advantage of it too.
Can we not think of some kind of Bondian way to dispatch him?
Anything you decide to do is only going to play into my hands and make me stronger. The more you fight it, the stronger I become. And you know this. That's how this is going to work. Alabama is going to do a better job
of
hooking their players up with sponsors than anybody else, and it won't be close.
What is the saying? You cut off one head and two more grow in its place?
Oh, Hydra?
Yeah, basically.
Hell, Hydra!
It's kind of what I see here.
Yeah. God, I mean, I hate him. I hate his guts, Russ. Can he not retire? I mean, I don't want anything bad to happen to the old.
Ooh.
The old what, Bear?
Ooh.
The old what?
Ooh.
What? You don't want anything Spit bad out. To happen to the old
I don't want anything bad to happen to my job. I'm afraid Nate might be listening. I mean, I don't want him to die or anything, but.
You want him to retire.
Yeah, I want him.
You want him gone,
this
which
is not,
fair.
I mean, it. I mean, college football is not college football anymore, and a big part of it is you've got Alabama, you've got there's no competitive balance. You've got one team that's head and shoulders above, and Alabama. You got Clemson, who was pretty close, and they had a once in a generational quarterback talent.
Well, it's funny because we've got a Premier League game on here in the studio, and I just think my prediction
You're
is
right
not that
now.
Anybody's asking, is that. This will – college football is going to go the way that sport has gone. And that sport used to be parity. Anybody could win, and you'd have small clubs that would win and everything. And now it's just dominated by the same six teams that have all the money. And, yeah, the small teams can jump up and beat them every now and then, but they're never going to win a title. The teams with the money dominate. And you've got six teams that dominate that sport – and guess what we've got now? We've got five or six teams that dominate college football. And the gap between those teams and the rest of the teams is only getting bigger. And maybe if they expand the playoff, that gap will shrink. I'm skeptical. But I know that with the name, image, and likeness thing, that gap is only going to continue to be because it is ultimately a supply and demand issue. And the fan bases and business communities of Clemson, South Carolina, Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma care way more about it than anybody else, including right here in Knoxville. I know that hurts to hear, but it's true. And so they're going to invest more money in their players, and they're going to continue to get better and better players while the rest of the schools will be left to fight over their table scraps.
And it's also about trust, right? If you're somebody in the community, you trust that an Alabama player on the Alabama football team is going to be in those high spotlight games, in those high momentum moments, way more often than not. You just trust that. You know that it's going to happen. You know you trust the administration over there. I think here, you're kind of looking year by year and saying, hey, it's going to be a good year for Tennessee. This is going to be a bad year for Tennessee. And I do think that plays into it as well.
865-546-8200. Your number to get on the board. get on the show with us here this afternoon, 546-8200. There are rumors running rampant in college basketball circles right now that one Mike Krzyzewski is thinking about hanging it up.
Really?
Yep.
Cool.
What would man, that would be something if Coach K and Roy Williams hung it up in the same offseason. Talk about a seismic shift.
Now, they're saying, according to an article that I'm reading here from Kentucky Sports Radio, they're saying that, I guess, Coach K will retire if certain rules go into effect. Maybe because he doesn't like the game. I'll keep looking in this story. But I'm just finding it
interesting. I think I read the same
here.
Story you did, but it was basically what happened to Roy Williams, where Kessler left and they said, well, that was the straw that broke his back, is he couldn't believe that players were going to be allowed to transfer freely and that he was going to have to re-recruit member, not only high school players, but members of his own team, which I understand where he's coming from, but again, kind of like the name, image, likeness thing, I think it's probably the right thing to do, to let the players have at least one free transfer, which is what's happening. But similar for Coach K, the implication, remember Banchero, Paulo Banchero, the guy we were recruiting from
Huge
Seattle?
Recruit.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, he's signed with Duke, but apparently he's being targeted by the G League. And if he goes to the G League, and that's their crowd, remember, they were not very good this year, right?
Right.
And so he's banking on, I've got Banchero and I think one other really good, highly touted five-star. I've got several good players coming in. Well, if those dudes don't come in, they're probably going to struggle again, right? And so if you're Coach K, I mean, you kind of see the writing on, he's pushing 80, first of all.
His back's going to start hurting badly.
He's pretty old to begin with.
He's not that old, is he?
Pretty old. He's in his 70s. Yeah, Coach K, sneaky old. But he, if you've already had health issues and you've already won all the things that he's won, you're in charge of USA basketball, and now you can't even be guaranteed that the players you sign are actually going to show up on campus, and you might have to go through another 500-type season and what's the way out of that for it? I kind of get it for him, and I'm no Duke fan by any stretch of the imagination, but
how much do you think those two guys care about their legacy, like in that kind of fashion, right? I don't want a couple 500 years at the tail end, and that might change my legacy a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they want to go through the grind of it.
Who, Saban or Krzyzewski and who?
Roy Williams.
Oh, I don't know. Saban, I figured they're just going to carry off on a stretcher when he drops dead on the field.
Very morbid thoughts from Bear regarding Nick Saban this afternoon. It's uncomfortable, man.
Also, we'll just have robotics by then.
What?
We'll have robotics by then. His brain will just get planted into a robot. They'll be able to keep going. Not good.
A la Futurama.
Basically.
His head in a tank.
Exactly.
Tank Nick Saban dominating college football for the next 200 years. Yeah, that would kill the sport.
Yeah,
I think about
a dynasty.
At that point, I'll probably just find something else to do. I'm still young. Max, he's got, 10 years left? What is the maximum time? Saban's what, 69? Nice.
Yeah.
I think he's 69 years old.
I'd say inside the next 6 years, he's going to turn into Bill Snyder on the sideline.
Yes, you're right.
He's not coaching at 79, is he?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, I can wait him out. I'm only 40. I could wait. I can wait him out. I could be 50-year-old Russell waiting for. I mean, that's like three coaches down the road for us. So who knows? Who knows what it'll be like? I'm just kidding.
I'm not.
Josh Heupel, I'm just kidding. I'm sure you're going to have a nice long 10-year run. Saw where Trey had an interview with Heupel today.
Yeah, some good questions.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I haven't seen the entire thing. I have to go back and look at it. He had like the 20-minute thing posted, their Zoom call. Apparently, Heupel says, this is the question I fed Trey.
I fed him one as well.
I asked him to ask about the quarterbacks. When do you have to have a quarterback decided by? And apparently, Heupel said he'd like 2 or 3 weeks before kickoff is kind of the target.
Do you think we will know who that quarterback is, or do you just think they will know?
I think we'll know because it's something you can't keep a secret. If they name a starter, the entire team is going to know because you have to announce that to the team.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't, they'll figure out at practice, so why wouldn't you? And at that point, it filters out from there, and it's going to leak despite Danny No Nug's best efforts. But I think you'd announce it. I don't see the reason to keep it a big secret.
Hmm.
What'll be interesting to see is whoever doesn't win
somebody
that job
hits the portal.
Does somebody go ahead and bolt right there before the season starts?
Maurer, one of those other guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bailey.
I would just love to be able to, and Heupel's doing all these interviews, I would love to be able to hook him up to the Fan Run
lie detector.
Yeah, inject him with the sodium pentothal and really get
– because yeah.
you know, and he'll never admit it, and he certainly never say who, but you know he has an idea of what the depth chart looks like.
Oh, sure he does.
Yeah, really looks like in his mind. And he might not have decided. He might not know that –
He knows. He knows, but he's
well, he might not know that Milton is his guy, but he might know that it's okay. It's not Salter and Maurer, so it's Milton, Bailey, or Hooker, and out of those three, I'm kind of leaning towards Milton unless he just sucks when camp opens up, right?
Yeah,
but
he'll have a backup plan in case he thinks Milton's the guy, and then. The lights come on, and he's not the guy.
But, I mean, wouldn't you love to know what
Garantano?
He really thinks?
Yeah. Sodium pentothal, sure. It kind of puts me in a frame. It'd be fun to waterboard Nick Saban, wouldn't it?
What? My Lord.
Just get him to admit everything.
I don't want him to die or anything. I just want to torture him in violation of the Geneva Conventions.
And we can do it. I'd
like to hook
back.
His nuts up to a car battery and see how that goes.
Admit it. Admit everything, Nick, and this will end. Tell us everything. Omit nothing.
He's going to say whatever did you read these those reports and everything? They'll just say whatever.
That's why I wouldn't necessarily stick with just waterboarding. The Israelis have had incredible results with shaking.
Derek Center, our friend, is hanging out in the studio. We used to work at a radio station way back in the day. Were you there when we brought out we had a plank out behind that radio station and some buckets of water, and we took turns waterboarding each other just to see what it was like. You weren't there for that? Oh, my God. You had been excommunicated? Oh, man.
Maybe shake him.
This is the kind of things we do in the off-season in radio. Hey, let's waterboard each other and see what that's like. Newsflash, it sucked. Oh, God, that was terrible. Yeah, I would have told you anything. If I'm Nick Saban, you're waterboarding me. I coach in pink panties on the sideline. I pay all my players. They're all on drugs. They're a bunch of degenerates. Just stop. He'd tell you anything. All right, GP3's got your top four at four coming up. Hour number two of the drive. We'll set up a Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day for you this afternoon. Tony Vitello joins the show in hour number three. We have a special jam or not a jam prepared for Coach V today.
Special live edition.
Yeah. We won't actually be playing the songs. We have live recordings of songs.
Yeah. Well, no.
For him to choose
from.
We could.
You're a hell of a guitar player, Russ.
Well, maybe that's the next step. We go live. Maybe we do the karaoke version
of jam or not a jam. Yeah,
Very
but we'd
nice.
Have to get people in here. We'd have to get like Etheridge and some of our other friends.
No, we sing ourselves.
Really?
GP3. He's got a voice like a bluebird.
I kind of doubt that.
What's your go-to GP3 on the karaoke night? What's the song that when you really got to bring down the house?
GP3?
That you're going to.
No, I'm a terrible singer.
Okay. Trey, who lied to us.
I've always said that my go-to would just be Journey, just because everybody else will also be singing the song, and they won't have to hear my voice.
Okay. That's a good plan.
Weirdest thing ever was him getting that karaoke kid to take Stephen Perry's place.
Yeah, but that kid could really sing, right?
Eh.
That's what you want. A guy who can sing the tunes.
He ain't Steve Perry.
Well, no. I mean, you're going to find another talent like that. But that guy, as I recall, is pretty good. Stay with us. Hour number two of the show coming up. More Fan Run Radio on the way after this.